Good morning. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 27. Then David said to himself, "Now I will perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than to escape into the land of the Philistines. Saul will despair of searching for me anymore in all the territory of Israel, and I will escape from his hand." So David arose and crossed over, he and the 600 men who were with him, to Achish, the king of Maok, king of Gath. And David lived with Achish of Gath, he and his men, each with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's widow. Now it was told Saul that David had fled to Gath, so he no longer searched for him. Then David said to Achish, "If now I have found favor in your side, let them give me a place in one of the cities in the country, that I may live there. For why should your servant live in the royal city with you?" So Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Therefore Ziklag has belonged to the kings of Judah to this day. And the number of days that David lived in the country of the Philistines was 1 year and 4 months. Now David and his men went up and raided the Geshurites and the Gerzites and the Amalekites, for they were the inhabitants of the land from ancient times as you come to Shur, even as far as the land of Egypt. And David attacked the land and did not leave a man or a woman alive. And he took away the sheep, the cattle, the donkeys, the camels, and the clothing. Then he returned and came to Achish. Now Achish said, "Where have you made a raid today?" And David said, "Against the Negev of Judah, and against the Negev of the Jerahmeelites, and against the Negev of the Kenites. And David did not leave a man or woman alive to bring to Gath, saying, lest they should tell about us, saying, 'So has David done, and so has been his practice all the time he has lived in the country of the Philistines.'" So Achish believed David, saying, "He has surely made himself odious among his people Israel. Therefore he will become my servant forever." Amen. So this actually is a very interesting chapter in David's life, and I'll explain why in a moment. But notice, and I should preface everything by saying this, in the wandering away from Saul, this is probably a very, very dark chapter in David's life. And you notice it first starts off with the sentence, "Then David said to himself." The proper translation is, "David pondered and said in his own heart." He did not consult with the Lord. He basically made a decision that seemed right in his own heart. And it led him down this trail that becomes a very, very dark chapter in his life. And so he's tired of running away from Saul, even though God had rescued David every step of the way. In fact, God had even miraculously, a couple times, brought Saul right into his hands. But for whatever reason, he was tired of running, whatever the case may be, and so he goes to the land of the Philistines. Now, you have to remember, a few chapters before that, you know, the prophet told him to go back, go into the land of Judah. In other words, go back to your country, and you know, God will take care of you. So he had received a prophetic word that he was supposed to stay in the land of Judah. But instead, now he's tired. You know, this is what happens when we get tired, you know. This is what happens when we get weak, when we're very weary. Even though we see God preparing things for us, we see God taking care of us, we see the Lord do so many miraculous things, every once in a while, we get tired even. And we just want there to be... easier road in some way. And David is in this place, so he, in some ways, foregoes the prophetic word to go to remain in Judah and stay there. And in other words, like, you have nothing to hide, David. You're in the right here, so don't flee to other countries as if some convict or someone that's done wrong. But he doesn't. So he goes and... he finds Achish, and this is a different king of Gath. So he takes his family with him. They flee. He seemed to have found favor in the eyes of the Philistine, And then David in verse 5 says, well, if I found favor in your sight, so obviously he has. He says, well, give me a countryside. And most likely it's because people were quite jealous of David, and there was a lot of suspicion, you know, why is David in the court of the king? And so David says, okay, let me go out to the countryside. And this countryside, actually Ziklag, if you go back in history, in Joshua 15 and 19, this city actually, this land actually belonged to Judah and then to Simeon. But interesting enough, they actually never inhabited this land. And so it was part of their parcel, part of their inheritance. But, you know, a lot of land that was given to the Israelites, they actually never occupied. And there was a two-part. God says, this is yours, but occupy the land. And they were given the land, but they never occupied the land. And this is kind of a good look into the partnership that God has for us. God says, I'm going to give this to you, but he expects us to partner with him to bring about the inheritance or bring about the possession of what God has in store. You know, a lot of times as Christians, when we hear a promise of the Lord, we just feel like God's just going to drop in our laps. But usually God doesn't work that way. God wants to be in partnership with us. He's not some cosmic bellboy that we ring up. He wants us to do it with him. That's the whole idea of relationship. And so, unfortunately, Judah and Simeon, they never occupied this land. And so, but he has given Ziklag to them. And then this is the dark chapter in David's life. So David and his men raided the Geshurites, the Gerzites, the Amalekites. They were inhabitants of the land. And he goes and he raids, and these were allies of the Philistines. And he goes and kills them. He says that he did not leave one man or one woman. He took everything with him. And then he returned to Achish. And Achish asks him, where have you been? And his response is, well, I went against the Negev, the south country of Judah, against the Negev, the south country of the Jeremelites, and against the Negev of the Kenites. Now, remember who these people were. Obviously, we know who Judah is, but the Jeremelites, this was the great-grandson of Judah. And then the Kenites, remember, this is Moses' father-in-law. What were the Kenites? These were friends of Israel. Now, he did not attack the Israelites, obviously. He lied. So he lies to Achish as he goes back, but he says he did not leave one woman, one man, one child, no one alive that they should tell the Philistines of what he's been doing this whole time. And so Achish believed David, and in his heart he says, man, this guy's making an enemy of people, his own people. And so, you know, Achish is, you know, he's mad genius. He's thinking, oh my goodness, this guy's going to be my slave forever. The word is he's making himself odious to the people of Israel. But this, again, is a dark chapter in the life of David. He lies about what he's been doing. I mean, you know, well, he lied to a Philistine king, so would that be okay, you know, kind of thing? I mean, you can make an argument, you know, for that. Be this similar, like, is it okay to lie to Hitler, you know, or something like that? I mean, you know, we'll have to discuss that another time, because it's actually quite a more vivid description and analysis than that. But he goes out, I mean, he kills everybody. He takes land, and seemingly there doesn't seem to be any particular reason for him to do that. There wasn't some impending attack or whatnot, and just something was going on with David during this time. And I think it starts all the way back in the beginning of this chapter when he says that David said to himself, you always get in trouble. There's always this slippery slope when we get outside of God and we start with ourselves. When we become the center of our universe, when it's about my will and this would seem right to me and this is what's in my heart and these kinds of things, this eventually leads to bad things that happen in our lives. And this is what happens with David. First off, he said in his own heart, man, I'm tired. Even though God had been providing for him the whole time, even though the Lord had miraculously saved him, that even when he was able to confront Saul in safety, I mean, how crazy is that? And yet, he still got tired. I mean, that's the human condition. We can understand that. But the moment we start operating out of that place, out of our fatigue, out of our weariness, and we usually make poor decisions when we're tired. You know, late at night. I mean, when do couples mess up? Dating couples, when do they mess up? Usually late at night. You know, when do people usually lose their inhibitions? It's usually late at night. And it's not so much late at night, it's just when we're tired. And so David makes this decision during that time, and it just creates all kinds of issues for him later on. And we'll see those issues later as it pertains to the Philistines in a few chapters later on. And it's a sad commentary, and I think it's something that we need to really, you know, take to heart. I mean, we value what's in your heart, but that shouldn't be what dictates our decision-making process. You know, we are people of God. We need to have God lead us and God to guide us and God to make our path straight instead of relying on our own power, our own strength, or simply what's in my heart. And it seems like this, especially in our modern world, that idea of what's in my heart seems to trump everything. You know, I talk to people, that come through my office or, you know, I'm counseling people here and there. And I ask, you know, there's pretty decisions that they made in their life that are a little bit, I mean, I feel erroneous in many ways. And I'd ask him, what's going on? He goes, well, I felt in my heart this was the right thing to do. And, you know, part of me, I want to say, well, it wasn't the right thing to do. And just because you felt it in your heart doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. But in our culture, in our day and time, what's in our heart seems to trump everything. It seems to be that quote or that idea is like, well, if it's in my heart, it must be true. You know, if it's in my heart, it must be right. And that's just not the case. And David, unfortunately, pays a tremendous price, you know, for this. And this is a blot. I mean, if you actually go through this, and 27, 28 is Saul and the medium, the spirits, you know, when he conjures up Samuel. That's going to be a very interesting talk next week. And then the Philistines mistrust David. And then in 30, something happens in Ziklag. And if you read in verse 6, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but it says in verse 6 towards the end, and he says, moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. For all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And so it's like everything turns on David, I think, based on that one decision. But David, to his credit, he goes back to seeking the Lord. And that's what saves him. And so, I mean, you know, it's a few chapters ahead. But most likely, David stopped seeking the Lord. He thought he got his own advice. He said in his heart, and everything flowed from that place. And then he finally goes back in 30 and starts seeking the Lord again after a lot of bad things start happening. And so this is why, in essence, David is a man after God's own heart. Not because David is perfect. He's not perfect by any means. But he's a man after his own heart because he's good at repenting. He's good at saying sorry. He's good at going back to the Lord and strengthening himself in the Lord. Right? And so the issue is not perfection, because David makes all kinds of mistakes. But God said, I've sought a man after my own heart. And someone who's quick to repent, not perfect, but when recognizes that he made a mistake, that he rectifies it in the Lord. And that's why David is a special person in the Scriptures. And so let's close our eyes. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us today. Have we said those type of things in our heart? Have we said, well, in my heart, I believe it in my heart. David said to himself, right, the translation is, he said in his own heart. How many mistakes have we made because we followed our heart instead of following God? Remember, the Bible tells us that our heart is deceitful. Let's commit to follow God. His mind is better than our mind. There's nothing wrong with having emotions or being emotional. That's kind of the seatbed of our heart. But we ought not to be controlled by our emotions. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to us this morning. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray and ask God, Lord, we want to be moved, God, by your voice, not our emotions, not what we feel is in our heart, God. We distrust our hearts. Let's confess that we are very prone to make mistakes when we do that, just like David did. You know, it led David to kill and to lie. It was a very dark chapter in his life, especially when God had been protecting him and covering him. And let's pray this morning and say, Lord, I don't want to make those same mistakes, God. I want to be led by your voice. Let's seek the Lord. Let's go to our community prayers and let's lift up our friends and family members that are battling cancer and going through therapies. And let's pray for God's healing word over their lives. Let's pray for our community that is battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing and spiritual healing. Let's pray for our community that are battling through non-cancer illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. By the way, if you look on the list, Juanita's surgery went well, and so she's recovering in the hospital right now. If we can just continue to pray for her. Apparently, she's in quite a bit of pain, but it's more from the physio that she started. than anything else. So we can just keep her in our prayers. Let's pray for our community. They're looking for work. And let's pray for God's open door and His provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for Grace. Her time at Bloom is now officially finished. And so she has served very faithfully over the years, and now she's looking for her next steps. And she'll be here in Hong Kong on the 16th, I believe, of January. And so let's just lift her up and ask God's blessing over her. Pray that her time well. She has a few weddings in Cambodia and those type of things. So let's just continue to cover her during the time. She also got into a motorbike accident and she hurt her leg. And so she sprained her MCL and something else in her knee. And so we can continue to pray for her. Pray for Pastor Sophia in Japan during our language classes and during the cold winter. Pray for God's protection and provision, and the Lord would just continue to use her, and she would continue to find great skill in learning Japanese. And let's just lift up. So let's lift up our sisters in these countries. Let's pray over our mission council. Let's pray for God's spirit to continue to lead them, over Ricky, Janella, John, Jungmin, Tim, Tyler, and Deborah Pang as a secretary. Let's pray that they would just really be filled with God's wisdom to lead our mission endeavors. Let's pray over our local outreach teams, Agape, Homi, SP Lights, Freedom Bridge, and Recreation. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to continue to empower our volunteers. There's quite a few number of Christmas outreaches going on. Let's just pray for God's hand upon each of those outreaches as well. Let's pray for our leaders and our volunteers. Let's pray for our activities tonight. Lift up SPU. They're having their meeting. Pray for the IP team, the prayer team. Also, the youth group is going on their retreat tonight. And so I ask for God's presence. And Pastor Sam Kim will be speaking during that time. They're at Cheng Chau. And then LAM, Love After Marriage class, has their retreat. Starts tonight here in at SP. And tomorrow morning through Sundays, it's in Discovery Bay at the Auberge Hotel. And so let's just pray for a real fruitful time with all the people, participants of LAM. So let's just cover things happening tonight and tomorrow. Let's pray for a house church tonight. This is the last house church of the season. McCain and McRobinson. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to encounter them, to fill them with His presence. Pray for the leaders and every person that would have a good closure to this season. Lord, thank you, God, for the reminder in Scripture, Lord, that we are not to trust our own hearts, God, our own thinking, our own ideas, Lord, but to be able to really trust in you, God, regardless if we're tired, fatigued, weary, God, of life, and maybe even in fear at times. Lord, God, you always lead us, you'll always feed us, God. So help us to always trust in you. And we move, God, when you ask us to move, God. And so continue to teach us, Lord, individually and as a church. We love you today. Watch over us, God, and help us to glorify Jesus in all that we do. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you over the weekend.